Destinations Beyond Expectations is powered by Group Experience. Visit groupexperience.com right now to build your travel tribes. Hello, what's going on? This is Stevie G, and you are listening to DBE, the podcast designed for students of travel. Be sure to check out Destinations Beyond Expectations on social media. DBE is on Facebook and Instagram. And no matter if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or some other podcast platform, you can do me a huge favor by hitting that follow button. That helps the show bubble up in searches so we can reach more students of travel. From music history to outdoor adventures to one-of-a-kind museums, Seattle has a lot to offer for visitors. Joining Destinations Beyond Expectations to talk about Seattle is Scott Shetler, aka the Quirky Travel Guy. Scott walks us through the touristy, outdoorsy, and quirky things you might want to have on your radar if you're visiting the Emerald City. I had a blast learning about Seattle. I've never been there myself, but Scott did a great job talking through some of the top spots to see on a visit. So let's go ahead and get to it. Here's my interview with Scott. Scott, welcome to the Destinations Beyond Expectations podcast. Thanks for taking the time to join me today. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Doing great. I'm doing wonderful. And today, you know, we're going to go to the Pacific Northwest to talk about Seattle. I've never been to Seattle myself, but I do know that it has a reputation of being quite a rainy city. I guess let's start here. Tell me more about what the Seattle weather is like throughout the year.
Yes, it's definitely known for its rain, and that is definitely accurate in the winter for sure. So basically from around November through April or May, it's raining a lot. It's pretty gray and drizzly, but the summers are beautiful. It tends to be very sunny and, you know, 70, 80 degree high temperatures, very clear. And so that's the ideal time to come if you want to get out on the water and do some kayaking, boating, whale watching, things like that. But in general, Seattle is a city that you can visit any time of year because although it does rain a lot, it tends to just be a light drizzle. We don't get a lot of heavy storms. So you can just bring a rain jacket and you'll be fine if you come in the winter.
Awesome. Well, you know, no matter if it's rain or shine, I know that there's plenty for people to do when they visit the Emerald City. And we're going to use a blog from quirkytravelguy.com titled One Day in Seattle, Three Awesome Itineraries for a Road Trip to help guide our conversation. You know, listeners, you can find a link to that blog in the show notes for this episode. And Scott, I think it's cool how you broke it down to the basic tourist itinerary, the nature and outdoors itinerary, and the quirky itinerary. We're going to take a look at a couple aspects from each of those itinerary types. And I want to start with something that many people, not only here in North America, but around the world as well, probably picture when they think of Seattle. I'm thinking about the famous Pike Place Fish Market. Would you agree that the Pike Place Fish Market is one of the most iconic things for visitors to do in Seattle? And can you talk a little bit about the experience of visiting the Pike Place Fish Market?
Sure. Yeah, Pike Place is definitely one of the things that Seattle is most known for. People have seen the workers tossing fish back and forth. That's sort of the big reason that tourists come. You know, that's where they catch the fish. That's where they sell it fresh right there. And so if someone buys a fish, they'll go through the routine of tossing it back and forth and everyone takes out their cameras to film it. It's kind of a cool sight. But there's so much to do in Pike Place. You have the fish markets, you have restaurants, some quirky things like a magic shop, a shoe museum. The original Starbucks is down there. So it's a cool place to hang out and it's right on the water. So it's definitely one of the first places that I recommend that everyone visit when they come to Seattle because it's something that's really unique to the city.
And is it usually pretty busy and bustling with people?
It is pretty much all year round. Obviously, the summer is when we get more tourists, so it's going to be busier during that time. But yeah, you're going to find a lot of activity going on there all day, every day. There's going to be street vendors. Sometimes you'll get some buskers playing live music. It's a very active and vibrant area.
You know, another iconic Seattle thing that I think people will recognize is the Space Needle. Can you tell me a little bit more about, you know, the amazing views you can get from the observation area at the top of the Space Needle?
Sure. Yeah, the Space Needle is another thing that is obviously a very touristy, but it's something that I recommend that every visitor check out. It's more than 600 feet tall. So when you get up there to the top in the observatory, you have views, 360 degree views all around. And you can see Mount Rainier, which is the big 14,000 foot peak to the south. And you can also see the Olympic Mountains to the west and the Cascade Mountains to the northeast. So you're actually looking at three national parks at once while you're up there, which is pretty incredible. And it just gives a really good view of the entire city from up there. And just sort of a fun fact that I learned about the Space Needle is that it's also extremely earthquake proof, which is cool, because this is one of the areas where there's some danger for that. But when it was built in the 60s, they really took the requirements for how sturdy it had to be, and they basically doubled them. And so it's one of the safest places in the city, in fact.
So, I mean, the views must be incredible. Is there a time of day that maybe you would recommend, or do you think it's pretty much no matter what time you go, it's going to be great views?
Yeah, any time during the day is fine. Obviously, it depends on the cloud cover. That's really the only issue that you want to worry about, because if it is cloudy, you're not going to be able to see as far. Late afternoon and sunset times can make for some really cool views and really cool pictures when you're up there. But anytime that there's a clear day is fine.
And, you know, on the topic of awesome views and kind of transitioning into a couple things from your nature and outdoors itinerary, something pretty cool that visitors can do is, you know, they can get out and see Seattle by water on a harbor cruise. Do you have any tips for booking a harbor cruise? And what is it like to view Seattle while you're out on the water?
Yeah, that's another really cool activity. And when friends visit me, I always take them out on this cruise. It's only about an hour long, so it doesn't take all day, and it's fairly affordable. I think it's about $40. But it takes you out on the harbor, and you know, you go past the Space Needle, past the downtown skyline, and you turn around and head the other direction past the piers. You get great views of the city and the mountains from there. It's kind of a cool vantage point to see the city from. They also give you a lot of historical information about the city while you're there. So you learn a lot about the city. So it's a good activity for someone to do if you're only visiting for a short time. And it's right by the waterfront. So the waterfront has a lot of fun activities. That's where the Seattle Aquarium is, the big Ferris wheel, Ivers, which is the big popular seafood restaurant. So you can kind of combine all of those activities together. But yeah, the harbor cruise, you can even see wildlife sometimes. You'll see killer whales. They swim right past the city. Seals and sea lions, you never know what you're going to see on the cruise. So I do recommend it as something that everyone should try to do.
Sounds amazing. Sounds so cool that you can see some unique wildlife. And, you know, something I really enjoyed reading in your blog and something pretty zen that visitors can do is check out the Washington Park Arboretum and the Japanese Garden. Can you tell me more about those?
Sure. The Arboretum, it's just across the lake from the University of Washington. And it's more than 200 acres of trees and plants from around the world. And they're all labeled next to walking paths. So you can sort of read about them as you're going. And then within the Arboretum is the traditional Japanese garden, which is one of the oldest Japanese gardens in the U.S. I think it opened in 1960. And so this is an area that looks completely different each season. You get the flowers blooming in the spring. You get the trees changing color in the fall. There's a lot of ponds with fish and turtles. And the architecture, it is, Zen is a very good way to describe it. It's a very peaceful kind of way to escape the hustle and bustle of the city. And Seattle has a lot of good city parks. Discovery Park is another good one that has walking trails through the woods to the ocean. Gasworks Park is another one. It's a little peninsula overlooking downtown that used to be an industrial site, and it still actually has some of that factory machinery, but now it's just a park where people go to picnic and see the city. So you have several different options for folks that just want to kind of get in touch with nature while they're in the city.
Sounds very peaceful. And kind of, you know, switching gears, let's shift to the quirky. Scott, I want to learn more about the gum wall. Can you tell me, and I believe that's in the Pike Place area, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, but tell me, you know, why that's a quirky tourist attraction that someone may want to have on their list of things to see in Seattle. It certainly sounds pretty unique.
Yes, the gum wall is exactly what it sounds like. It's a big wall, and people go there and stick their gum on it. And it's sort of weird the way it evolved, but it's become a quirky tourist attraction. And people go there to take photos because there's literally thousands of pieces of chewing gum just stuck on the brick walls. And yeah, it's a little alley right next to Pike Place. And so while you're down there, it's very easy to find. And it's become famous. People go there to take pictures. Jennifer Aniston shot a scene from one of her movies there. And definitely not for germaphobes, but if you want to see something that's very unique and interesting, stop by the gum wall.
Is that one of those things where you kind of have to wait in line to get a picture, or is it pretty open where you can just kind of show up and get a picture?
Usually you don't have to wait in line because it's the alley is big enough that there's enough room for everyone. There really is so much gum there. It's apparently they clean it once a year, and it's about 2,000 pounds of gum that they actually scrape off this wall. So yeah, you don't really need to wait in line. It'll be easy to get in and see it.
Wow, 2,000 pounds. That's a lot. That is a ton of gum. You know, Seattle also has the Museum of Pop Culture. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Sure. That's another one of my favorites. You know, Seattle is obviously known for its music history. And this museum focuses a lot on that. It has artifacts and clothing and instruments used by Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, some of the rock and roll greats. Exhibits on some of the famous Seattle bands like Nirvana and Pearl Jam. They have exhibits on video games, on science fiction movies, on television. Anything related to pop culture, basically, is covered here. So it's definitely not your typical museum. It's something that kids, young adults, everyone can just sort of enjoy and explore whatever happens to be interesting to them. There's a ton of music stuff. And as a music fan myself, this is one of my favorite museums in the country because you can just spend so long checking everything out.
Yeah. And kind of on that, I just, you know, wanted to kind of throw this in there. The Seattle music history scene and just the love of music in the city must be really awesome with all the, you know, rock and roll stuff that came out of Seattle. Can you maybe talk a little bit more about that, how important music is to Seattle and how visitors can, you know, get those type of experiences or learn about music history when they're visiting?
Yeah, the Museum of Pop Culture, MoPOP, it's a great place to get educated on it. But yes, there is so much history and there's so many places you can go. Jimi Hendrix was from here. So there are statues. There's a Jimi Hendrix park that has some displays and information about his life. There are still some noteworthy places. Like for instance, there's a tiny little bar in the Pioneer Square neighborhood where Nirvana played their first concert ever. And that bar is still there. So you can go visit places like that.
So Scott, we've talked about some really great stuff already that visitors can check out and, you know, spend some time seeing while they're visiting Seattle. But what haven't we talked about yet that, you know, might be a top recommendation from you? You know, if a visitor is going to spend some time checking out the city, maybe some cool spots that they should have in mind.
Yeah, there's so many places. I always recommend going to Pioneer Square, which is the oldest neighborhood in Seattle. And they actually have an underground tour. There's an underground level below the ground level, which was basically the original Seattle 100 years ago. And most of it's closed down now, but you can take a tour to actually explore some of these underground tunnels and actually see the original ground level from, you know, a century ago when the first people were settling in the neighborhood. So that's always a really popular tourist activity. And also, if you have time to go visit some of the nearby islands, that's a really great idea. Whidbey Island, Bainbridge Island, they have a lot of state parks up there. They have some old forts with cannons still on display, some cute little towns. So that's a fun little getaway from the city during the day. The other thing I wanted to mention on the music, Seattle also has a lot of really great music venues that are well known, from Numo's to the Crocodile to the Paramount Theater, and they're still running shows all the time. So folks who are really interested in that history, just check out the calendar, see what's coming, and maybe catch a show at one of those venues.
Very cool. Well, Scott, thanks so much for talking through some things visitors may want to check out in Seattle. But you are the quirky travel guy, and I think it would be great if you talked a little bit about your blog and how you got into writing about travel. So the floor is yours to tell us all about the Quirky Travel Guy.
Sure. Yeah, I've been running Quirky Travel Guy for more than 10 years, and I actually started when I bought a camper van and decided I was going to spend an entire summer just driving around the country, because I hadn't done a lot of travel up until that point. And so I bought the van, took off for 3 months, and started blogging every day. And I made a point to see the obvious tourist spots, but then I also tried to seek out places that were a little more quirky and unusual, like ghost towns or strange museums or the giant roadside attractions, things like that. So I started blogging about those, and I've been doing that ever since. And I also write a lot of city guides, a lot of road trip itineraries. I have taken road trips in all 50 states, so I love to put together itineraries for people. Guides to national parks. That's another one of my passions, is I'm trying to visit all 63 national parks, and I think I'm at 46 now, so I'm making progress on that journey. But basically, yeah, just trying to put together a lot of guides to help people plan their visits to places they haven't been.
I love it. And listeners, make sure to go check it out, because Scott's got some really great resources and you know, travel reads that can help you be a better traveler. Can you tell the listeners about, you know, where they can stay connected with you and your travel adventures on social media?
Sure. You can find me on all of the major social networks at Quirky Travel Guy. So that's Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, Quirky Travel Guy.
All right, Scott, I do have one final question today. Destinations Beyond Expectations is known as the podcast designed for students of travel. So I always ask guests that join me on the show this question. Would you consider yourself to be a student of travel? And if you do, can you talk about something important that you've learned because of or through travel?
Absolutely. I never got to do any significant traveling until my late 20s, as I had mentioned. And so once I started, it was amazing how much of the world opened up and how much I learned from seeing new places and meeting new people. And I really learned to move beyond my comfort zone. That's one thing that I've tried to always carry with me wherever I go. So whether that's going into a restaurant in a place where I don't speak the language, or trying something new like swimming with sharks in Hawaii, just pushing myself to have new experiences that are a little bit outside my comfort zone. I think that life experience really is the best education. And so traveling is the best way to gain perspective on the world, really. And I've learned so much from all of my experiences traveling.
I think that's well said, and I totally agree. Thanks so much for sharing that, Scott. And it's been great having you on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about Seattle today. So thank you so much again for joining me on Destinations Beyond Expectations.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to do it.
A big DBE thank you to Scott. You can check out the Quirky Travel Guy blog by going to quirkytravelguy.com. And I've also included links to his social media in the show notes. If you're a fan of Destinations Beyond Expectations, you can help me out by following the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and telling anyone you know who loves the world of travel to check out the Destinations Beyond Expectations podcast. Well, that's going to do it. I appreciate you tuning in as always. Have a great day, and I will talk to you soon.